For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the My Life Sports Podcast Network, and I'm excited to talk about last night's Denver Nuggets win as the Nuggets defeat the New York Knicks. Final score, 113-100. Really exciting game for the Nuggets, really exciting game for fans, I'm sure, to watch. It was a great one. That's exactly what you're hoping for if you're a fan, especially at this stage of the NBA season. I'll just move like just a bit over here so I'm out of the sun. Gosh, I need a pair of drapes or something to go up over there. This is annoying. I'm sure it's pretty annoying on the screen as well. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. Thank you so much for taking part in what we do here. Really appreciate it, of course, and really appreciate the Nuggets for putting together just another really, really impressive game. Another impressive win. Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter doing fantastic work. Michael Porter's leveling up. He's been playing great. Been really excited to see how that's gone, and just never know what's in store for the Nuggets and what's in store for Michael Porter Jr. going forward. So having audio trouble with my headphones. I'm going to actually take these out real quick because they are being absolutely annoying. They keep like going in and out of transparency mode. I don't know if you have AirPods. It is disgustingly annoying to try to manage that. So hopefully that didn't screw up with any of my settings. Let me just check to make sure. Okay, we're good. All right, let's now get into this game. Last night was amazing. It was a lot of fun to watch, and I wasn't able to be there, unfortunately. I'm still kind of getting over the last vestiges of being sick, so we'll try to keep this brief once again. But it was a fun game. Fun game for sure. And exciting, I think, if you're a Nuggets fan, these ending stretches, like, I know everybody wants to compete for the one seed. I know everybody wants to, like, have the best possible seed for sure. And I understand that. But I wanted to make sure that, like, people are enjoying this moment too. People are having fun with this because this moment should be sick for a lot of people. And for Denver, like, finding pockets of time where you can just enjoy the game and enjoy watching a team like the Nuggets play basketball without having any other, like, pressures of, hey, the playoffs, how's this going to affect the playoff rotation? How's this going to affect what happens in the future? That's what the end of the regular season should be, because Denver's hard work is already done. 70 games played, like this was game 70 last night. And you have these moments just watching where you get to watch Nikola Jokic make these incredible passes. You get to watch Michael Porter just absolutely level up and do the things that he's been doing. I'm talking about him in the second segment for sure. But just being able to watch Denver and seeing a lot of the reaction to some of the plays that the Nuggets were making last night, they were on full tilt. They were amazing with some of the playmaking that they were having. Aaron Gordon had a great playmaking game. Nikola Jokic obviously does every time. But watching them all play in concert together and seeing other people react to it, seeing Knicks fans and national folks react to some of the amazing passes that were going on, you get numb to it. And there was a clip that went around last night from Nikola Jokic, who makes this over-the-head pass, this blind pass to Aaron Gordon. And he had been good up until that point, doing his normal thing. I didn't fully realize that he was on pace for a first-half triple-double. He missed it off by one rebound, of all things. But the over-the-head pass to Aaron Gordon, the blind over-the-head pass where he sensed the double team coming to him, knew how the defense was going to rotate behind it, and whipped a pass underneath to Gordon. Chris Marlowe, who I love dearly and who's a friend of mine, especially at these Nuggets games, he didn't really react to it. Scott Hastings didn't really react to it. This was just a thing. It's just a thing that people around the organization, whether you're a player or a coach or a commentator or an analyst or whoever, if you're around the organization a lot, you see that all the time. And then you see these highlights blowing up. Like, how? How did Nikola Jokic see this pass? How was he able to do that? How did he sense that? And if you're a Nuggets fan, you know it's because he does it every time. It's because everybody's used to it by now. And it's crazy to think about it that way. Crazy to think about it in that terms. Nikola Jokic has officially normalized being insanely good. Like, he is insane. And the passes that he makes on a consistent basis, these are ones that he never really messes these up either. Like, you see him go over the head a lot of the time. And sometimes, look, a defender will tip it out of bounds or something like that. Occasionally, they'll get their hands on it for a turnover. But for the most part, Jokic is converting these at an insanely high clip. He's been doing a great job of making the fun pass, but also making it at a highly effective rate. And that's just that's a skill. That is absolutely a skill that nobody else in the league really has. And I'll talk about his MVP chances more in the third segment. That's something I wanted to touch on before leaving. But I just wanted to kind of kick off with how fun it was to watch the team. Michael Porter's making crazy plays. Aaron Gordon, his spin in transition and then kind of layup half dunk was great. Watching Jamal Murray sort of navigate the toughness that the Knicks were playing against him. It was great to watch all of it. It was great to see what Denver was able to do and how they were able to respond to a team, a very good Knicks team. I'm very impressed with the Knicks as a team and just what they brought to the table. Obviously, it wasn't perfect, and obviously they are injured and didn't have a couple of the key pieces for that. But it was still really interesting watching them and seeing how all of those pieces fit together and knowing that they could be even better with OG Anunoby, Julius Randle, and even Mitchell Robinson, who they haven't had for a long time. I'm curious to see what they ultimately put together in the playoffs and if they could keep this up, but they haven't been thought of as a contender. I think the Knicks are a contender if they get healthy and if they stay right, the way that Jalen Brunson's been playing. It was really, really easy. Really, really interesting to see just how they could be good. Now, can they beat the Celtics? I don't know, but Denver made them look small, and obviously when you start Josh Hart at the power forward position, it's going to look that way. The Knicks started and they played a very small lineup with Jalen Brunson, Deuce McBride, Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, and Isaiah Hartenstein. Hartenstein played really, really well against Joker. I thought that DiVincenzo had some good moments. I thought obviously Brunson was great for the most part. Deuce McBride made Jamal Murray work for everything he had. And on a side note, Jamal Murray rolls his ankle last night. That's not great, right at the very tail end of that game. And that is tough. I Denver's obviously in a position where they could manage that as best as they can. I don't know what the severity of that is. I'm sure we'll get a better picture of it. It doesn't sound like it's that serious, like no need for an MRI or anything like that, I don't think, but they'll probably do some imaging anyway, just to be confirmed. But it is interesting to see how, like, Denver will sort of react to that. It was very clear that in the minutes that the starters were all out there with Jokic, KCP, MPJ, and Aaron Gordon specifically, you had Jamal out there for some of the time, you had Reggie out there for some of the time, and then there were some staggered lineups where Christian Brown and Peyton Watson were out there too. But for the most part, it was the other, like, three starters and Jokic. When those guys were out there, it was very, very easy for Denver. Like, everything was pretty straightforward. Denver knew they were going to attack the paint. They knew they were going to post up Jokic. They knew they were going to operate around the perimeter with Michael Porter. And everything kind of worked in concert. And Porter was great. He was tremendous. Jokic had a 30-point triple-double. Michael Porter had 31 points on 13 of 16 from the field. Again, I'm going to talk about him in the second segment. But yeah, I will. Let's point this one out right now. The backboard dunk, the self-alley-oop, that was crazy. That was a lot of fun to watch and sort of a culmination of where he feels physically, I think, where he feels to the point where he can try stuff like that and is just athletic enough and coordinated enough and strong enough and healthy enough to be able to do something like that, which is great. That's what you want to see. And he's doing it. He's just doing what he can. It's been a lot of fun to see. I think that that group, I just don't have any questions about that group. Even if it's Reggie Jackson out there, like, his job is going to be to get it to Jokic, and then Jokic and MPJ are going to go to work, and Aaron Gordon, if he's out there, will go to work as well. Denver, like, in the playoffs, when they have to have Aaron Gordon come out and then come back in and play center, they will probably go to MPJ at the four a little bit more and maybe play either Christian Brown or Peyton Watson on the wing, and they'll find ways to be successful with that look. But for the most part, like, it's a pretty standard and straightforward rotation for Denver, and it looked really good against the Knicks last night. Just the way that they continue to play, it's been a lot of fun. The questions, obviously, for Denver have to start with the Jamal Murray-led bench unit, which we'll probably see a different look on that against Portland when Denver goes there. They're going there today. They will play tomorrow, Saturday, against Portland, and I doubt that Jamal plays. And we're going to see a different look in all likelihood, but the one that was out there in this last game was really not good. And it's definitely the weakest part of Denver's rotation, where they've got this majority bench unit where you've got four bench guys plus Jamal Murray. Like, here's the thing. If Jokic was out there with that group, and you just had like four guards and wings and then Jokic, it probably would be about even, I would say. Just based off of the way that other teams play it, based off of how other teams kind of stagger their rotations, it would probably be even. And asking Jokic to do anything more than just make that group average is probably not fair. Now, with Jamal, he's obviously not Jokic. And so what you want is for that group to be slightly negative. Not the negative like it was last night, where there were basically minus 15, minus 17 in 9 minutes, which is just not good enough. So, look, I think that Denver can get better from Jamal. I think it wasn't even necessarily Jamal. It was just the fact that not enough creativity, not enough playmaking around Jamal. And when he had to give the ball up, guys just didn't really make their shots or make anything productive with it. He set up DeAndre Jordan for a dunk underneath the rim, set up Peyton Watson and Christian Brown a couple times on the perimeter, and they didn't really do much with it. So it's about finding opportunities for those guys to take and make valuable shots, whether they're at the rim or behind the arc. And I know that Peyton Watson's mid-range game has been blossoming over the course of this year. It's not going to get it done fully. Like, Denver's got to get more valuable shots than that, because if Peyton Watson shoots 40 to 45% for on mid-range jumpers, that's fine in a developmental phase. It is not enough to sustain a positive lineup, which is not a surprise. So, look, we'll see where it continues to go, but that's the one sort of negative from last night. Mostly, I was just very happy with the way that Denver competed, very happy with how they performed in that situation. Obviously, they had lost to the Knicks by 38 points at the tail end of a road trip, and they took revenge. They did a great job, and it was nice to see them bear that out. Hopefully, Denver continues to put themselves into good positions, and they go up like they did in this last game. Whether that actually happens or not, I'm very curious, but was still very good to see. I liked the way that Aaron Gordon connected things. I liked the way that KCP defended. I liked the way that Jokic and Murray obviously played. But then more than anything, I liked the way that Porter's continuing to play. When we come back, we're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about Michael Porter leveling up. I've got some numbers for everybody, and I'm excited to share them. We will be right back. But first, everybody, this podcast, as you know, it's brought to you by Superbook Sports, the most trusted name in sports gambling with a direct line to Las Vegas. And now you can use their promo code MILEHIGH and score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Download the Superbook Sports app, enter the promo code, and you'll get $250 courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Sorry, everybody, for coughing and doing this thing where I can't really get over a cold. I basically slept like 2 hours last night because I was coughing through the night. So if I'm looking tired, if I'm looking disheveled, like my hair is not looking great, but just trying to work through it, just trying to get through it and get the job done. It is what it is. You guys didn't need to know that, but I appreciate everybody for sticking around nonetheless. All right. Got to get to MPJ. I've teased it enough now. Michael Porter last night goes for 31 points on 13 of 16 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3. I don't know if did he get to the free throw line. Let me pull up the box score. That was a rookie mistake by your boy. Let me get this up real quick. Come on. 2 of 2 from the free throw line. Porter's making everything. He is making everything right now, and it's really exciting to see for a team like Denver that everything is obviously centered around Jokic and, to a degree, Jamal Murray. Those guys, when they play at the level that they usually do, Jokic and Murray, Denver is a championship caliber team. Where they are really taken over the top to a point where they are basically inevitable as a championship team, as a true contender, are when Michael Porter is shooting the way that he shoots and playing the way that he's played. Post All-Star break, here are Michael Porter's numbers. 21.1 points, 7.3 rebounds, 1.5 assists. Pretty solid, nothing too crazy there. But the efficiency splits are really what stand out. 56.7% from the field, 43.9% from three, 92.6% from the free throw line. He has a true shooting percentage of nearly 70. He's at 69.6%. And first of all, like, those are crazy. And the fact that Nikola Jokic maintained a true shooting percentage of 70 for the entire year last season probably doesn't get talked about enough, because who in the world does that? But Michael Porter, for the last 15 games, has been doing it. And he's been doing it on difficult shots. Like, these are step-back threes and step-back mid-range jumpers and turnarounds and floaters and, like, takes to the basket and dunks. And it's the entire aspect of the game, of the shooting game, that is really, really standing out. He is getting shots from everywhere right now. And those shots are looking great every single time. He's just in so much control of what he's trying to do, of what the Nuggets are asking of him. And that is tremendous. That is so exciting, because what Denver needs from Porter isn't anything crazy. They need him to be aggressive. They need him to be smart. And sometimes those things go, like, against each other. But more than anything, especially with the attention that Jokic takes up and the attention that Murray takes up, is they need a guy who is as confident as ever in whenever he makes a decision, that decision is going to be good. And the decision-making for Porter has been tremendous. He's not really turning the ball over that much. He had a few last game, but who cares? For the most part, he is very definitive. And Snowwolf says it here. Like when MPJ dunks, he's got some power and style. The left-handed dunks that he throws down, where he's driving down the lane and then, like, throws it in with his left hand, those are sick. Those are insane. Like, the way that he gets up, it has been so good. It's been so awesome to see. And the aesthetic nature with the way that he plays, it looks like a star. Like, the actual visuals of it are what a star is supposed to be, where you've got this 6'10 dude who's athletic as hell, who's jumping over everybody on his jumper, and then hammers it over everybody, has the step-back jumpers and things like that. He's got the shot profile where he's making these mid-range jumpers, these turnarounds. It's been unbelievable. And it's really cool to see him level up and to get more confidence. And he credited it last night to being more healthy and to, like, having the confidence of his teammates. And he's earned those things. He's worked so hard. He has worked so hard to get to the place where he's at right now, where he can be trusted and have somebody that believes in him, have a team that believes in him, with the effort and the work and the shots that he's put in to this thing. And to see somebody that's had three back surgeries be on the other side of this and reap the benefits of it has been really cool. He's played 69 of Denver's 70 games. He's missed one, and it was really because they told him, you have to miss this one. Like, we have to sit you down and get you some rest on a sore knee that had been building up. And then he sat down. Then he played again, and he's been a stalwart. He's been somebody that has been consistent throughout the entire year. Here are his shooting percentages from three for every month. 37 in October, 40 in November, 38 in December, 40 in January, 36 in February. He dropped off a little bit. And March, he's been at 48%. He shot 48.5% from three in the month of March. And on top of that, he shot 60% from the field. Like, the dude is making everything from two right now, let alone three. And his true shooting in the month of March is 73.9%. That's disgusting. That is gross. And I think that when you boil it down to that, with the way that he is shooting and the attention that he takes, like, he's always been this talented to shoot this well. Now, you don't shoot this well most of the time, like, if over a season, like, the numbers will normalize. And, like, this guy says a quiet 48%. Absolutely. And so, like, you balance it out with a quiet 40%. And then that's how you get to 44 on the season. And Porter, like, the three-point percentage hasn't been perfect for much of the year. He had been dealing with the, I think, like, a severe ankle sprain early on in the season. And I wonder if getting off of his feet a little bit for the All-Star break, I wonder if that really helped him. Just like, hey, he had a grade three ankle sprain that he just played through, pretty much. Like, that he sustained in training camp. And they're like, okay, well, can you play? And he said, yes. And then he's played. He's been solid. He's been really good. But then you actually get him some rest and you get him some rehab for a few days. And then he turns into the greatest shooter in NBA history again. Like, how sick is that? It's been really, really cool to see. Cedric asks, is his conditioning okay? His conditioning's really good. Like, he plays hard for a lot of the time. Like, just as many minutes as you could possibly ask for, really. On the season, like, minutes per game-wise, he's fluctuated between 31 and 32 minutes per game for every month, just looking at the splits here. And that's exactly what you need. Sometimes, like, he doesn't finish the game because Denver's in a blowout or something like that. But for the most part, he is in that 32-minute threshold. And that's fine. That's a good role for him. I have no doubt that when the playoffs roll around, he'll kind of ratchet that up to 34, 35 minutes per game. And he'll be fine with it. Now, will he shoot as efficiently? Maybe not. But nobody really does in the playoffs. Like, that's just, it's not an expectation that people should have for him. But I think the way that he's playing right now, and the confidence with which he's playing right now, should not go understated. And I'll kind of walk back something that I said couple days ago. I was talking about Jamal Murray with that conversation. And just, hey, don't lose track of what Jamal Murray is doing post-All-Star break and what he's done. And everyone at that point had been rushing to credit MPJ. And there's been a lot of criticism for Jamal, which I generally try to push back on because people have these massively high expectations for Jamal because of what they watch with Jokic, because they want Jamal to be an all-star, all-NBA, whatnot. And so I kind of use like Jamal's numbers as a comparison point for MPJ. And as efficient as MPJ had been, like, Jamal had been shooting 44% from three himself. That was before this last game. I don't know what he's at now. But MPJ is just becoming undeniable. Like, no matter what I say about Jamal, like, the way that those three are playing at the same time, and if you want to expand it, the way that the five starters are playing at the same time right now, they are all peaking. KCP's been shooting really, really well. He's been playing great defense. Aaron Gordon, the way that he has played and connected everything has been very, very important. Somebody who's willing to not take all those crazy shots. He takes one every now and then. I'm like, eh. But it still feels like he is sacrificing. It still feels like he is. He had eight assists last night, and six of them went to MPJ. Six of the buckets. Because he's continuously trying to set up his guy. And so when that happens, you realize that everything's just clicking. And the entire team is clicking. And so MPJ has been a central figure to it, obviously, but he credited it last night as well. And I guess I didn't really mention this. Last night, he became the team's franchise leader in single-season three-pointers made, 193. He will probably go well over 200 by the end of the season. I'm sure that that could go to, 215, 220, somewhere around there, if he really wanted to. And if that happens, I wonder if he could set the new mark next year and the year after that. And just the way that he's shooting and the level of confidence that he has, but more importantly, the level of confidence the Nuggets have in him to continue trying to get him the ball in these situations, that will benefit everybody if he can continue to shoot the way that he does, take up the attention of the defense, and leverage that into other opportunities for other people. That's going to be great. And it's one of the reasons why his usage isn't so high to begin with. It's that he's already such an elite shooter that, that's why Joker and Jamal are able to take the shots that they are. That's why Aaron Gordon's got space in the dunker spot. That's why KCP's often left wide open, because he can't leave Michael Porter wide open. So it's why these guys, it's why them playing in such concert, it helps everybody, and it helps everybody out. And so one person's success, like Michael Porter, is everybody's success. And they're all benefiting from it for sure. So really exciting to see. Let's take another break. When we come back, we are going to chat about Nikola Jokic and the MVP conversation. Should be a lot of fun. But first, this promo from Scott Duff.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Final segment. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning into the show. If you can, it would be awesome if you could like and subscribe to the video down below. That would really help for sure. It's like we're continuing to try to expand here at MHS. It is a process. It's always about building up a community, and really, really appreciate all the regulars, folks like Snow Wolf and Cedric, and everybody in between. I see Troj is hanging out in the comments as well. Really appreciate everybody for stopping by. All right, let's wrap up with Nikola Jokic, who MVP is really becoming a real thing for him. Like, just looking at the commentary and looking at the odds and looking at everything that sort of comes with that whole discussion, feels like MVP is becoming a very real thing. Here are the odds from Superbook, who is a kind of Colorado outlet, so take it with a grain of salt. Odds from Superbook for MVP. Nikola Jokic is all the way up to minus 700 on the odds. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is at plus 500. Luka Doncic is at plus 1200. Giannis is all the way up to plus 4000. And Tatum's at plus 6000. So really kind of becoming a three-team race, but with a clear favorite. A clear, clear favorite. The implied odds for Nikola Jokic are very, very high. At least 50% that he's going to get it. And with that in mind, it's just interesting to think about. And I know that he could still lose it. I know that if he has, two or three bad games in a row down the stretch, Denver has a couple bad losses. Let's say they dropped a fourth place in the Western Conference standings. Then I think you'd really have to seriously consider the differences between Jokic and where he is versus SGA, for example. The way that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has played has been crazy. I put the stat out there last night, or a couple nights ago, excuse me. The Thunder are insane. Among all guards and wings and forwards and just non-bigs, they have the guys with the most times that they have shot above 50% from the field. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander leads everybody in the NBA in times shooting above 50% from the field. That's insane. Like, among the non-bigs, like the guys that are around the rim the entire time. He's out like 46 or 47 games or somewhere around there, just shooting above 50% from the field, which for a guard in today's NBA is crazy with how often the three-point line is involved. Now, Shai isn't the most three-point heavy option, but it's pretty interesting to think about. And then on top of it, you've got like Jalen Williams and Aaron Wiggins, and I think Cason Wallace are all in the top seven. So he's got three other teammates. So the Thunder are crazy, and the way that they've played, if they did get the one seed, and Denver, like, say they fell three or four games back of the Thunder, it wouldn't surprise me if there was a clear argument made where people start digging into the numbers and thinking about, like, hey, SGA's got kind of a pretty solid lead in estimated plus-minus here. SGA's got a lead in some other advanced metrics over Jokic. Yeah, Jokic has the rebound and assist advantage, but Shai's got the points and steals. Why are we voting for Jokic? That's the argument that could start to really crop up. But as of now, like, you look at the odds around several books, and they may not be as severe as Superbook, but for the most part, everybody's odds are in between like minus 400 and minus 700 for Jokic to win MVP, which implies a very distinct favorite. And so if Jokic and the Nuggets, if they just hold serve for where they are, let's say they finish one game back of OKC, it's not enough to really like showcase, oh yeah, this is the reason why Jokic shouldn't win MVP is because he was one game off and the Nuggets were one game off of the Thunder. That's not enough. And voters wouldn't see it that way either. If Jokic wins this thing and he's got three MVPs, he's got one finals MVP, maybe a second if you continue going down this road, you start to get into some crazy territory with him. Just insane. And it's something that I haven't fully processed yet, but I have gone down the rabbit hole of being like, okay, how many guys in NBA history have ever really done this before? Like, we are watching an all-time great here. It's very clear about that. Like, I think the Jokic is going to go down as a top 10 player of all time. But am I underselling him? Like, is everybody continuously underselling him with the way that he continues to play? The way he continues to grow? I don't know. Like, it seems like Denver's really well set up for this to be a long run. Now, these things go very quickly. And I don't want to sit here and put the cart before the horse, because like, there is no promising that Denver's ever going to win another championship, let alone two or three, or like have an actual dynasty or anything like that. But the fact that they've already got one, and the fact that they're in great position right now, and the fact that Jokic could, like, he's nearly got this third MVP. It's going to take, I want to say three more great games and five more average Jokic games, which are 26, 12, and 9 or somewhere around there. If he can do that, you start to put yourself into this crazy territory where there's like eight guys who have ever won three MVPs. I think you've got Kareem, you've got Bill Russell, you've got LeBron and MJ for sure, you've got Bird. Who else do you even have beyond that? Like, I think Moses Malone, and maybe, like, who am I missing? Magic? Maybe Magic won it three times. I don't remember. But like, you start to get up into that level, and you start to realize, man, like, this is Jokic's era. There's been a lot of conversation from Giannis and Bucks fans about, man, it should be Giannis. There's a lot of conversation from Dallas fans about, hey, look at what Luka's doing. Look at the numbers that he's putting up. And there's been a lot of conversation from Philly fans, although we've really closed that door here at Mile High Sports. I'm like, that's not a conversation until Embiid really plays in Denver. or just like plays well in the playoffs. And then the Thunder, it's just too early for Shea. Like, it just is. Like, he is very much on the precipice. He is nearly there. But I would have it be a wait-and-see kind of thing for sure. Once you kind of knock out some of the other candidates and realize, okay, it really is Jokic right now, once LeBron and Steph and all those guys retire, you start to really kind of circle back and think, man, this is one of the most dominant stretches we've ever seen. Not just, like, of this generation. It's of all generations. And you start to have these crazy thoughts and conversations with other people of, like, are we witnessing one of the five greatest players to ever play the game? And you can start having those conversations. Now, it's going to take a little bit. And I don't want to, again, you don't want to put the cart before the horse too much. Because if you do, and, like, let's say Jokic retires in 3 years because he's just like, yeah, I'm good, he'll probably not have the longevity to fully crack that conversation. It's still fun to think about. Still fun to think about and still fun to discuss and still fun to root for sure, because this is history. This is history what we're seeing right now with the way that Denver's playing, with the way that Jokic is playing, with the way that he has normalized being insane. Like, as I said in the first segment, he has normalized this level of greatness to the point where people just say, yeah, that's what he does. It's who he is. Oh, he just made an insane pass? Cool. We'll wait a couple days until he makes the next one. That's just how he is. And that's an insane thing to think about. It's been a lot of fun. Been a lot of excitement there. I think that Denver's in a great spot, and I think if Jokic can wrap this one up, you can really start to have some uncomfortable conversations with people. Like, three MVPs, maybe two finals MVPs. Like, it's going to get insane. I'm really excited for it when it is. All right. Everybody, that is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Really appreciate all of the love and support on the podcast, as always. Let me know what you want us to talk about next. Weekends with Swipa will be on Sunday. Obviously, we've got, like, March Madness stuff going on for sure. But I'm really looking forward to where Denver goes from here, and where Jokic goes from here, where Michael Porter goes from here. There's just a lot of fun storylines that I'm really excited to be able to chat about with everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Leave a like and subscribe to the channel. We'll talk to you guys very soon.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.